It's late, but I'm not tired, and there's nothing that I really want to watch. I got off work about an hour ago, and I've just been meandering around. And then finally, I thought, what better way to pass the time than to do an episode for my podcast? So here I am, and I want to talk about what I've learned from Issa Rae. I have taken her masterclass course through masterclass.com. I'm also signed up to her Patreon, so I get her content and I'm on her Discord server. And also, I've just been following her throughout the years. So, back in my 20s, so long ago, I had a YouTube channel and it was a semi-popular channel for like the spiritual community. I had over 7,500 subscribers, over 450 views, and I kept seeing her show, her channel referenced, recommended in other people's comments and channels and videos. So I was like, well, I gotta check her out. And I did. And I instantly liked her energy. But also, I had never really seen anything about a black, awkward woman before that was relatable. And I did see myself in her, and it made me crack up. And I'm not the biggest fan of relationship shows, which is telling. My love life is non-existent. But I would pop in and out of her channel whenever she'd come to my mind. And I saw her amass the following. And I was happy for her, still am. And then when I heard that her script was being produced and would be airing on HBO, I was like, I knew it. I knew she was gonna make it. I caught some of her episodes. I've listened to a lot of her interviews. And when I started paying more attention to breaking into the industry, because I really have only felt like my scripts were good enough this July, but I was planning for it. And so I was just listening to people who are in the industry who are black women and what they had to say. So one of the main things that stuck out to me, and I'm going to paraphrase what she said, but she said that she was working with Shonda Lamb. I meant Shonda Land. I said Lamb instead. She was working with their team and they were trying to pitch a script, I believe, about LA dudes. And the network that they were pitching to kept giving notes, as they should, as they will continue to, because our industry is an opinionated industry, not just with the execs, producer and director and actors and actresses, but also the people who are consuming the content, right? There are websites dedicated to people voicing their opinions about a show or a movie. Anyway, she said that she kept being like, yeah, I'm gonna take that note, I'm gonna change it, I'll fix it, I'll fix it, to the point that the script didn't really have her voice anymore. She didn't really like the script, and it wasn't picked up by the network. And another time she said, she was working on a project and people kept saying, get this person on it. He's gonna really elevate it. But she felt in her gut that it wasn't the right person, but still she tried to make it work. But then that person went off to do another project. And later on, I think she said they met or crossed paths again at a party. And he said, I saw what you did. I really like it. And yeah, I would have fucked that up. And it just was a confirmation, validation that what she felt was true. And so that just really spoke to me because I know I have a very different voice. One of the reasons I really felt compelled to actually write out all my scripts was because I've been waiting and waiting for shows like mine, and I still wasn't seeing them, and I was getting frustrated. So basically, she's saying that you should honor your voice. Don't try to change the script to something it's not just to please other people, because then in the end, it's not really your artwork. It's what somebody else wants you to be. And this reminded me of Tyler Perry, who said he brought in people to do like a writer's room. And after he did that, people stopped watching, or the viewer count went down because people weren't really identifying with the voice of the show anymore. And then when he controlled the narrative, the views went back up. Now, I don't know if that's because the people in his writer room were the wrong people, and he still just needed people that were more in connection with his voice, but that stuck out to me. And I'm just in a place where I've had so much feedback on so many scripts. And at first, because I was so new to the industry, I was like, okay, well, this person must know what they're talking about because they're in the industry. They've been in it longer than me. But what I learned was people are just reciting what's been done, not really envisioning what will become and what will be. And so there's a lot of limiting beliefs that people project onto you. They're like, it has to be this way. And it doesn't. So, in moving forward with my scripts, I do my best to honor my voice while still being open to constructive criticism and critiques that do actually elevate the script. Actually, Coverfly has their special going on. I forget exactly what it's called. It's the Coverfly Career Lab, and they had a man talking. All I remember is his first name is Ed. I don't remember the last name, but he's a famous writer. Obviously, I'm not great with names. Ed Solomon, I just Googled it. And he said, don't let your anxiety to please other people get you lost and lose to the point that you lose your voice. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but I do remember him exactly saying, don't let your anxiety to please people make you change your script. And so many people are saying that, but of course, people are always giving a note for a reason. And if you can understand that reason, sometimes that will allow you to better discern if you should add it or change it or leave it alone. You must be very, very clear on your vision. That way you won't be dissuaded by other people's opinions. And so I just want to encourage everybody to take the time to really mull over what people say and use your discretion, your discernment, to really decipher what people are saying and why they're saying it. If it applies to your script and if it doesn't. And if it doesn't, be okay with saying no. I always said that my superpower was not listening to people who didn't know what they were talking about. Because I grew up in a very extremist family. And I remember being as young as 4, being like, what they're saying makes complete, doesn't make any sense. Like, they're delusional. I didn't have those exact words, but I was like, there's cartoons in their heads that aren't real, but they're saying them like they are, and they're lying to me. And so that allowed me to get out of that religious abusive situation and really live my best life. And I carry that over to my scripts. So today I had an interview type of thing. It was an appointment with someone who's in the industry who's looking to elevate Black, Indigenous, people of color voices and connect them to execs. I had a few red flags with this person already, even though I didn't voice them. But I was like, let's talk to this person, see what they have to say. And, this could be the next step in my career. So we talked earlier today, and he was giving notes on BTW, I'm an Alien, which is based on the parallel life of Trevor Noah. I was listening to the notes. I was understanding some of what he was saying, such as go into the meaning, go into the intention, hint at things rather than doing it word for word, which was something I'd been struggling with because I was looking to whittle down the dialogue. Another thing he said was to take out a video link, which I only put in because another script analyst had told me to. and I didn't really want it there, but it was just a confirmation to take that out. And I really just left it in there for my own note. I wanted to know where that link was, and it's easiest to just put in the script. But now I just put it as a comment within Celtics. But the person did hyper-focus on that one part a little bit too much. And then the person, too much meaning like it's an easy, quick fix. You didn't have to drum it up. Never, ever, ever, ever. Are you listening? Are you ready? Never, ever, ever do this. And I was just like, you could have just said that doesn't need to be there, you know? So another thing that they said was to not give backstory. So as this person's talking, I'm bouncing what they're saying off of what other people have said in the past and what my vision and voice is. And not just one person, but every single person who read not just the first draft, the second, third, fourth, multiple drafts, they always said, we need more backstory, we need more time with the characters to really be invested in them and care about them. And you're coasting too much on the idea that the people who watch or even read the script will know who Trevor Noah is. And I completely agreed with that, especially since it came from multiple people. So I gave backstory. All of Act One in the first pilot is new, based off of building the backstory, building more time with the characters and their relationship with one another. But this person was saying not to do that. So I was like, that's kind of conflicting with what everybody else has said. And he gave his reason, which I always like to hear what someone's reason is. So he talked about Batman and Superman, how it's so boring to see the same things over and over again because we know that Clark Kent's spaceship crashed in a cornfield. Okay. And we know that Bruce Wayne's parents were murdered and the Pearl Necklace. And to be honest, when I watch those movies and shows, it does annoy me that we're being shown that all over again. But I do know why they're doing it. It's because they're trying to get the next generation to love Marvel and love the characters. But people who are older, we know it. But the thing is, he was comparing Trevor Noah to Batman, and Batman and Superman are very universal symbols. And as big as Trevor Noah is, there's still a lot of people who don't know him. And so that didn't work for me. I didn't really agree that we need to remove the backstory, especially since it's only Act One. And even recently, I still had advice on the script, and the person said, I wish we had more time with their relationship. You know? I submitted the first 10 pages to this person back in May 31st. And so it's been over a month and a half, and I've had other feedback, and I had already started updating the script. I'm not going to go through all the notes that they gave me, but they gave me a few more. I sat with that, I meditated on it. And I made changes. I shaved off two additional pages, essentially 2.5 pages. It originally was 32 pages, but now it's 30. And so I was quite pleased with myself, whittling it down. And the biggest note the person was focusing on was the teaser. The teaser was too long. I agreed. I felt like it was too long, just wasn't sure where to whittle it down. It was 4 pages, and I whittled it down to 2.5 pages. So I reread through everything. I know the script so well. I've had so many people, like over 30 people, give me feedback on it. And also, I'm a quick study, I'm a quick learner. I can process feedback quite quickly. But I knew that this person was going to react badly if I sent them the updated version within a couple of hours of talking with them. But I was like, if the person reacts badly, it just means that they're not the right person, right? Don't you want someone who can process things quickly and efficiently and make things better? So I sent in the updated version. As predicted, this person had a adverse reaction saying that it can come across of you being defensive and not listening if it's a quick turnaround, which is obvious. I know that. And then the person also said that I didn't make any changes to the first four pages. I was like, are you not seeing that it's a whole page and a half that's gone? Okay. So I'm like, okay, they're not really paying attention. And they just went on and on. And I was like, okay, my gut is saying this is not the right person. And I have to be okay with moving on from them. So I just responded quite nicely, talking about the parts that were removed and how I understood where he was coming from. But sometimes people just aren't a good fit. It's nobody's fault. It just doesn't work. And so I said, if the revisions still don't work for you, that's fine. I'll just move along. Because the truth is, he doesn't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste his time. We don't want to waste a manager or executive that's like him that wouldn't understand my voice and where I'm coming from. So why continue to try to like make it work when it's not working? And so I feel comfortable with all the beautiful updates that I've made. I'm still open to making more changes because I'm not really attached to the script. There's only one script that I've ever written that I'm very attached to, which is Karmic Bait. The only person I would be offended by, or not even offended, the only person I'd be hurt by from saying they don't like it would be Trevor Noah himself. Everybody else, I take it with a grain of salt. I still find it valuable and I always listen to it. But sometimes, just like Issa Rae was saying, they're trying to make you into something that you're not. And so you should always treat yourself with kindness. And that means being willing to let go of things that aren't working and people that aren't understanding you and honoring your voice. So that's what I'm doing. I'm moving along. I'm not mad at this person. I still feel like Roadmaps is a great company website to learn and grow from. It's just that this person and I, we're not seeing eye to eye on the script. And that's not a big deal. There's a lot of worse things going on in the world. So anyway, another thing that Issa Rae taught me was about perseverance. Every single person that's successful is successful because they had stick-to-itiveness. They kept going despite people's opinions, despite roadblocks and challenges. They still pushed through. And again, Quentin Tarantino was also talking about when he was just starting, he was not this big name. People were trying to tell him to do something different and how he was going to alienate a part of the population from a certain scene, but he still was like, I want the scene. And yes, some people walked out and he alienated them, but he still stuck true to his vision and he's as successful as he is today because of that. He's honoring his voice. And it is a little bit tricky with one of my scripts, BTW, I'm an Alien, because it's meant to serve Trevor Noah's brand and image, but still have my voice. So it is a bit of a tricky script. But I still feel like it really does get my voice across. And I'm just going to keep going. Additionally, something that Issa Rae said was to shoot that shit yourself. She does like the word shit. During one of her Discord gatherings, she did a Q&A where people could just post questions and she would rapidly answer them. And so she was telling people again, like, shoot that shit yourself. You know, she became successful because she went through YouTube and people organically came into her life and really have honored and served her brand. And I love that about her. So I am still considering doing the audio drama. I was going to do BTW, I'm an Alien, as the audio drama, but I just don't feel like that's going to work anymore. Just because of the life rights and it's a little bit trickier, but I think I'm going to start with Gigi Family. I just haven't found the right people. It's actually quite tricky because I didn't really care that much about BTW for like the types of people. It was just friends. But for Gigi Family, it's very specific. Like I need First Nations people and I only know a handful and none of them are men. And there's a lot of unique characters that I feel like I need to be more specific. Because I did the table read for BTW, I'm an Alien. It went well. It was just my friends and some new acquaintances. And I loved it. But it's not public. And it doesn't really matter how well they convey the character per se, it more so matter to me about just hearing the script read out loud in different voices. So if I am going to do an audio drama and put it on this podcast and put it on YouTube, then I really need, I feel like, better actors and actresses. And that just becomes more complicated because Issa Rae was doing this in her 20s where it was her friends, not to be mean, but they didn't have as much as a love of life because they were young, they weren't married with kids, with mortgages, and aging parents they had to take care of. So it's a little bit trickier now to just expect my friends to be able to have time to do it. But I like that she says that because then you have complete control. I'm listening to so many people who have like been canceled from networks, and they're like, I would never go back if I don't have complete control over my narrative. And so a lot of them are going to podcasts and they have their own websites because they have complete control over it. So I'm wondering, maybe that's just the way to go to start. I do like that Issa Rae said that HBO just trusted them. They didn't need to like say, oh, you need to explain this or this doesn't make sense. Is that really how the black community is? They just were like, you write it, film it, and we'll distribute it. I love the possibility of that happening. I definitely need to build my brand a bit more, but I'm ready. I'm ready to do that. So those are the main things that she's taught me. Shooting it yourself, doing it yourself, being perseverant, and not listening to people who try to change you. Okay, those might seem like so simplistic, but actually embodying them in the moment of someone kind of like telling you it should be different, that's when it becomes more complex. But I truly love all of my scripts. I always knew I was going to be a writer. I am committed to continuing in this path. Luckily, I have my regular day job that pays more than enough for me to live comfortably while I pursue this second career. And I'm excited about the new scripts that I'm going to write, where they continue to just like give different expressions of my voice. I definitely have a unique voice where most of my scripts center around consciousness, going into different worlds, different realms, different people's bodies with like reincarnation. There's always some spiritual theme or aspect, and they're always meant to challenge people's biases and prejudices and get them to think. There's always natural diversity, there's always a bit of conscious humor, and I prefer horror, thriller, and dramedies. Those are just my style. I like the idea of people working through some of their issues, some of the stuff that's on a subconscious level, through simply watching a show rather than needing to experience it. Right? It's a bit educational, still meant to be entertaining and affronting, like you're meant to confront some of your biases, but it's meant to be done in a way that people actually don't feel defensive and they're able to mull over the content. There's nothing else that I want to write. And so there's nothing else that I will write. So yeah, that's all I really wanted to talk about tonight. I want to leave you with this. Get clear on your voice. Get clear on what you want to say. Get clear on the vision of whatever script you're submitting to get feedback on. And really sit with yourself. Meditate on it to find out if this person is telling you advice that really elevates your script or tries to make it into something that it's not. Okay? I find meditation so healing, so amazing, because it just allows all of you to come to the forefront and really address things. And don't be afraid to say no. Definitely be determined, be perseverant, be resilient, because those are the ones that make it. I believe Steve Jobs said, the ones who change the world are the ones that are crazy enough to think that they can. Or is it the ones that are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that do? Right? So you have to believe in yourself. Even if it's a crazy idea, still go forward. Every single person that's made it has had rejection ladder after rejection ladder. Think of Stephen King. I was recently researching him and all of his rejection letters. Twilight had a bunch of rejection letters. There's a lot, all of them have been rejected and said no to. It's part of the process and actually power for the course. So accept it, expect it, and maneuver through it so that I get selfishly to consume your content. I'm rooting for all of you, every single one of you. I believe that each of you have a valuable story and voice that deserves to be heard. That's it for now.